why he loved and honored his children, and why we should give respect and love and honor our parents. And I appreciate that to this very day. And I said, you know, I don't mean it in a bad way, but my dad did a lot of things out of great ignorance. He did a lot of things out of great love. But I tell you what he did do when he promised it, he delivered. If it was a trip to the swimming hole and ice cold watermelon, I don't care. For the day was done, that's what we did. And if he promised me a whipping before the sun went down or after the sun went down or before the day was done, he delivered. I might have told you before, I've my little brother's bed was right next to mine, and he called me Fat Man. He said, Fat Man, he said, do you think he forgot? I said, no, Bubba, he ain't forgot. Sure enough, it wouldn't be long. Down that hall he would come, and he would minister discipline. But we respected our Father. I tell you, God created this universe with laws in place and to control and govern it. And I tell you, God is a creator of order. He's not the God of chaos. He's not the author of confusion. But he is a God of order. And he expects us to obey those laws and to give respect even to the laws of nature and to life itself. I tell you, respect and order are essential for peace and happiness. And this holds true in every aspect of our life, in nature, health, society, business, government, home, school, and most of all in church. I tell you, God instituted order and in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, which is administrations, diversities of tongues. God put these things in place and God put these things in order, and we need to respect that. Amen. But I believe respect and honor are qualities that are getting harder and harder to find. And it's very sad that these things should lose their place in the house of God and in church. I tell you, it needs to be taught here. It needs to be taught, number one, at the home so that it can be taught and understood at church. I think it begins at home. And I think we ought to pay respect not only to our homes and our families and church, but to our nation and to the place where we live and our flag. I tell you, I'm still patriotic. I may not believe in and may not agree with policy, but I believe in the government and the Constitution of this United States. And I still believe it's a wonderful place to live. We get to stand up here. We get to sing. We get to do what we want to do without fear of being jailed. Now, I don't know what the future holds for us, but I am so glad that I live in America. And I respect the flag and what it stands for. And I intend to obey the laws of this country, unless they supersede the law of God. And absolutely, I will obey God. Amen. But I think a Christian man and a Christian woman ought to be at peace and respect their neighbor, pay their taxes, be honest in all your business dealings. Amen. You know, and it's real easy to try to avoid something so far as taxes. You know, say, well, I don't think I'll include that. That scripture came to me when I was studying this. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Cheating on his taxes? Being crooked in business dealings? You would do that in exchange for your soul? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I tell you, the church, the home, and even the school should be shining examples of respect and honesty and fair dealings. I thought about Sister Cheryl when I studied this. I tell you, Pam comes home from school, and I know these teachers. Buddy, they've lost respect in school, in the classroom. And used to what we'd hear about in high school has drifted all the way down to elementary school. We used to have alternative schools for students in high school that got kicked out of mainstream. Now they got alternative schools for the little kids. My. I tell you, I about decided a teacher can't practice crowd control for 30 minutes and 40 minutes and try to teach 15 minutes. We need respect, folks. We need respect in the home so it will bleed over into our schools. Amen. So we need to place emphasis on restoring the values of respect, honor, and principle, which are so vital to our welfare. The definition of respect is the correct attitude of showing proper consideration for the rights and the honor of others. And I tell you, respect is revealed in one's thoughtfulness for other people. What are the results of disrespect? The lack of respect sort of opens the door for rebellion and all kind of criminal activity. And I tell you, where there is no self-respect, we got to have respect for ourselves too, folks, not just other people, but ourselves. An individual will have no concern or place no value on his reputation, and being disgraced will mean very little to them. I've seen people, young people, that have been chastised, and it seemed like it doesn't even matter to them anymore. So what if I'm incarcerated? So what if I'm being disciplined and have run afoul with the law? I tell you, that kind of loss of self-respect to me is dangerous. Amen. And people like that will give themselves over to practically anything, any sort of gratification to the appetite of the flesh. They will turn themselves over to that due to the lack of self-respect. We have to have self-respect. And I tell you, where there is no respect for the rights of others, a person will not hesitate to harm them or destroy them or plunder their goods or take advantage of them. So I tell you, we have to have respect. And disrespect will breed a lot of bad feelings and hatred and malice. As a matter of fact, you read the fifth chapter of Galatians, and you read, I think there's like 18 things that it lists that are works of the flesh. And it follows the end of those lists up. It said, and such things as this. That's not an all-inclusive list. But right below it, there are 9 attributes. The fruit of the Spirit. And at the end of that, it says, against these, there is no law. These are right and these are true. We need that kind of self-respect. Amen. Seems like hatred and violence are a result of disrespect. And this condition was prophesied in the Bible. If we read over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. He's describing 2014, a complete loss of respect. Paul's reference to the last days reveals, I believe, his sense of urgency. And the last days, the way I see it, began after the resurrection of Christ. And the last days are going to continue until the second coming of Christ. In other words, we still are living in the last days. Just like Paul preached. And I tell you, his list of behavior just describes our society today. And even some so-called Christians that act like some of these things that were listed. And call themselves Christians. And I tell you, there seems to be a sort of a comfortable attitude about superficial Christianity. And that sort of stuff ought to make us uncomfortable as Christians. I read in the paper yesterday about a minister of a denomination that joined two men together in matrimony. I'm going to tell you something. I'd be scared to practice anything like that. I'd be scared to put my stamp of approval on anything like that. I tell you, there's a day coming when God is going to separate the goats from the sheep. And you can stand there all you want to, but my Bible says anything that's an abomination to God is not going to stand. Amen. And I don't want that sort of comfortable feeling about anything goes as a Christian. I want to stand for what right. I want to stand up against worldly pressure. And I want to respect and honor God like he told me to. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul taught that civil authority is ordained of God, and we should obey the laws of the land. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, the things that God allows to happen and the things, the people that are in authority, they may not follow the laws of God. But I tell you, God allows things to happen, and He is the highest power. And I encourage you, the saying that we use all the time, God is in control. Just hang on. He is in control of this world. And I tell you, on the authority of this very verse of Scripture, every Christian in this room and every Christian in this world ought to be a law-abiding citizen. And we need to keep the laws in detail. I mean, to the very last nth degree. Have I been guilty of violating them? Some I have. I drove 65 when I ought to have been driving 55. And I was over in Texas the other night, and we were clipping along there pretty good. 75 miles an hour in Texas. I said, man, I wish Louisiana would get with it. We just can't seem to get the hang of it. But we need to have respect in our business community. I'm telling you, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm telling you, we need to respect the rights of others. We need to respect the rights of anybody we're doing a business deal with. I'm telling you, cheating, shoplifting, smuggling, that's not going to get the job done, folks. That is not respect for somebody else. Just recently, they arrested a man, a woman, and a younger person that had been all over three or four states shoplifting and selling on eBay. Anybody see that? To the tune of $6 million. That boggles my mind. How you can shoplift and sell on eBay stolen goods to the tune of $6 million. I tell you, we need to pay our honest debts. And we need to be right and true in our business dealings. In the community, we need to be a good neighbor. We need to respect our neighbors. And that's how we get respect. And I know the old saying is, good fences make good neighbors. But I don't care if you got a fence between you and your neighbor, we need to respect one another. The neighbors that live next to us and in our neighborhoods. And I think we ought to keep things neat and in order best we can in our neighborhood to respect one another. You know, and you may say, well, Steve, you know, you're getting off in something that's a person. I'm going to tell you something. God expects us to represent Him in every aspect of our lives. I tell you, some of the ways that I go to town and see people even dressed and stuff, I tell you, you need to go to the house. You know, you need to pass yourself in front of a mirror before you come or something. You know, I believe it is up to us as Christian people to present ourselves to the community and to the public and to our neighbors as a godly person, somebody that respects other people. Amen. Amen. And above all, Christians should always be friendly. Amen. In the home, certainly we should have respect in our homes. And I tell you, it's a sad affair when the home simply becomes a place where we sit down to eat, change our clothes, get cleaned up, sleep, and go on about our business. My dad made it a point that we sat down and ate. This one didn't sit down in front of the radio. This one didn't go sit down in front of a TV. This one didn't go, well, we didn't have all the devices they got today. But I tell you what, some of these things that are going on today, they can destroy the family unit. Amen. We sat around the table and we talked and we asked how one another's day went. And I think that's good. I think there needs to be time where parents and children all sit down together and discuss one another. And your family. It doesn't hurt to ask, is there anything that you're facing or you need that we as a family can help you? If you don't do that, how do you know? So we need to respect one another and make the home a place of love and order. I'm telling you, if good manners and respect are not taught in the home, it's very doubtful it'll be learned anywhere else. Amen. I passed by a place yesterday, and apparently it was a family reunion or something. And there might have been 30 cars, I guess, parked in this parking lot. And I'm not kidding you. There was 15 people on the front porch texting and talking. I said, good night. I said, probably people in there they hadn't seen in years, family. You know, I'm just assuming it was a family, whatever the occasion was, you know. And these dudes out here texting and talking, you know. I'm telling you, this stuff is stealing our time. I know it's necessary. Some of it is. But I'm telling you, we need to take time to shut it off a little while and let the family unit get back together like it should. Amen. I was running down the road. I've been trying to exercise a little bit. And Pam told me, said, you better watch that highway. Well, I was on the shoulder and walking toward the traffic, you know, trying to keep an eye out. And here comes a car, and it was coming down the road. And I looked, so I moved over a little bit, and I kept walking, and she moved over, and I was out in the grass. And like to took out me and my neighbor's mailbox. Why? She had her head down. Like to hit me and the mailbox. And looked up just in time to miss both. That stuff will kill you. Respect for one another. Amen. Respect for parents. In our text we read in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I tell you, the Lord simply said, and the apostle wrote it, the importance of this in one clause, this is right. You know, simply said, this is the right thing to do. I tell you, we need to have respect for our parents. And even though some of us have lost our parents, some of us may have one parent or the other. But I tell you, as long as that parent lives, we need to respect and honor our parents. Amen, amen. Respect for children. I'm about out of time. Children have rights too. Every child born into this world has the right to be loved and wanted and respected. Never should a child made to be feel unwanted and orphaned, so to speak. I tell you, that makes children resentful and bitter. And if there's something in this world that I can't hardly stand and I can't hardly read and hear about is the abuse of a child. You know, I said, what makes a grown person put physical abuse on an infant or a child that can't defend itself? I tell you, Lord, he set that child on his knee and he said, you better watch how you treat these little ones. Anybody that offends one of these little ones better look out. He said, because they're angels who communicate with my Father all the time are watching them. And I know there's been a lot of children that have lost their lives at the hands of angry and frustrated adults. But I tell you, every child deserves love and deserves to be wanted and loved. So I say maintaining respect in the home, the family altar is extremely important. We use the old saying and the cliche, the family that prays together stays together. I tell you, if there is no family altar, it's going to be difficult to have children worship and respect church. If they don't do it at home and don't pray at home, it's going to be hard to respect church. Amen. Church leaders, we've already touched on that. I believe we need to respect our church leaders with the highest order of respect. And I know we refer to our pastors as reverend or brother. And I had an old uncle. They called him elder. He was an elder pastor. But it's just something that we do out of respect. I know Jesus himself, at times, he was called rabbi. And he was called teacher. At one point, he was called master. But I know one guy that sat by the side of the road that screamed out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't get offended at that. He healed blind Bartimaeus. But I tell you what, it's just a matter of respect. It's like teaching children to say no, sir, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am. My dad explained to me early on, there's nothing wrong with the word no and yes when somebody, but it's a matter of respect. Just teach them to say no, sir, and yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, please, thank you, and you're welcome. That's just all a part of respect. Amen. So we need to respect our church leaders. We need to respect our worship service. When we're in a church service, I tell you, we need to remember that it is a very sacred time, and we are in the presence of the Lord, and we should show that. And moving on quickly, our church itself, this church property and stuff, I'm telling you, It makes me proud every time I come into this building. And my hat is off to everybody that has a part in keeping this church looking good, smelling good, clean. I tell you, it has something. It speaks for itself when other people come in here. We need to have respect for the church property. Amen. Amen. I tell you, Jesus had respect for the temple. He had such respect for the temple, he took a cat of nine tails and run him out of the temple. Flipped his table over on the way out. But it's all a matter of, this is a house of God, folks. And we've encouraged one another, you know, as we come into this place. And I know we take time to say hello and how are you and stuff in this sanctuary. But I tell you, for the most part, it needs to be a quiet, reverent place where the presence of God dwells. Amen. So when we come in here, we need to respect the house of God. And so I tell you once again, thank you, different ones, Brother and Sister LeBlanc and Brother Johnson for the mowing and the landscaping and stuff, and everybody in this building. It's not just them. It's everybody that has a part in keeping this church clean, having respect for the house of God. I'm fixing to close. I'm running out of time here. But I tell you what, if it wasn't worth teaching, it wouldn't be in this book. I tell you, there's an obligation of us to teach respect and honor in the house of God, and respect and honor in the home, and respect and honor one toward another as brothers and sisters. And I encourage us today, let's do that, just that. Let's continue to respect and honor, most of all, God, Jesus Christ himself, because he is the giver of life in all things. Amen. God bless you this morning. I love you. I hope we gained a little something out of it once again. And we'll take a quick break and then come back for our worship service.